Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, where Kashuk are ye tin. Jin cut ka ke jin talk on a kaya ha on a cock. Gunnish cheese.
And gunnish cheese to everyone out there for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Well, hate to use a bad pun, but I hope that everyone gets a charge out of our next two guests. Aha. Duff Mitchell, Managing Director of Juno Hydropower, and Devin Kirby with the Juno Electric Vehicle Association and founder of Alaska Electric Vehicle Association. And I do want to point out that Duff and Devin were featured in Angelie Grantham's Climate Change Solutionist Project. And I just love that word, solutionist. People who find solutions. And there were 10 people profiled in that project for making a difference locally by developing climate change solutions. And of course, one of the ones that were featured prominently was the discussion on electric vehicles. And so, Duff, I'd like to start with you. Congratulations. Although it's a city bus, I know that you take a lot of pride in this, that the city's first electric bus is on the road this week, now serving the community. Can you put this in perspective? How big of a milestone is this?
Well, this is a pretty big milestone. I think electric buses were starting to be talked about 7 years ago, and the Juno Commission on Sustainability and others started asking our city, hey, we could be running on the rain. We got local hydropower. We can reduce costs. And that's a big, steep learning curve. I mean, an internal combustion engine has about 2,000 moving parts. Electric motor bus has about 18. So you're dropping the maintenance levels down, you're dropping the operating costs. And so what we came to was, hey, we need to find federal funds to help us do this transition, because these electric buses out of the gate are much more expensive. But after you've purchased them, they're much less to operate. They're safer in the sense that they have more horsepower. The bus driver can get out of the bus stops quicker in a safe manner. They're quieter, and they actually improve the quality of life for the people that are riding the buses, because there's no diesel smoke, and they're quiet, and you can have a much more enjoyable ride. So we just took the opportunity to help the city and borough with Jay Koss and others to write out the grants to get them through and to procure the buses. Denise Gizio at the Capital Transit was very instrumental, a very good grant writer, and we were able to get her dozens of support letters from the community members saying, hey, this is where our community wants to go.
Well, I have to ask the bottom line question. How much did that bus cost?
Well, the buses are about $800,000, which is more than a couple hundred thousand dollars more than a diesel. And some diesel buses you can get even cheaper than that. But these are also going to be all-wheel drive, so they can get up the Cordova Hill. And they have some of the features so that they have the right size battery and also heating elements for making sure that our riders are nice and warm. So they're not... they're not the bottom tier electric bus. They're actually a pretty good setup for Juno.
So at what point do you know that they pay for themselves?
Well, the statistics show that the cost of operating them can be, as low, and Devin may have more information on this, but they're 60 to 70% lower on the fuel cost. You know, as you prorate that life cycle off, there's a period of time where they take over from electric bus with the number of years left on their life cycle that it becomes positive. So even though it's a little more expensive up front over time, and that really depends on how many miles they're driven and how well they're taken care of, they tend to be extremely economically beneficial. It's ironic that you're seeing a lot of red states really go after electric buses for the economic reasons. You know, in Juno, we're going for it for greenhouse gas as well as economic reasons.
Well, I imagine, you know, not hearing the belching of diesel and looking at the ugly exhaust certainly will be more appealing to the tourists who come to visit us. And we do have a big visitors industry. But could you tell us a little bit more about the milestone nature of this? I mean, in terms of the country, you know, where do we stand in terms of the state? Are we the first in terms of the city? Of course, but can you put that in perspective for us?
Sure. Well, Anchorage took a bus on a lease basis just to test it for 3 months. It was not an all-wheel drive bus, and it did not have the higher equipped heating elements. And they did a test run for 3 months just to kind of see how it worked. That was good for us to learn from lessons learned. So we learned from their mistakes as well as what we needed to do here. So this is the first public transit bus in Alaska. There was a Tok school bus, so technically there's a Tok school bus that was the first electric bus in Alaska, and I want to give Tok credit where credit's due, but they took theirs in November, and it's working well in the cold weather, and now we have just taken ours. As far as a milestone, this is the first of seven more that we will be having, that we have currently got, we have received grant monies for with the CBJ.
So, Devin, what kind of a milestone is this for you as one who has primarily been pushing electric cars?
Well, we've been pushing electrification of vehicles more broadly. There's been a lot of groups around town who have worked on everything from boats to buses to cars to trucks. And I think this is a huge milestone because it makes a big dent. There's only so many, you know, vehicles out there that are electric right now, and electric transit buses are one of them that's more broadly available compared to, say, a pickup truck. And it's really amazing that we are able to get on that bus, I would say, more as an early adopter city than where we're at, or where the nation is at more broadly.
An early adopter city. That sounds very glamorous, to be an early adopter city, prestigious. But I understand that you, your family goes back a long ways in this community. So how do you feel about that, being associated with early adopting a technology?
Well, I hear my grandfather did run a city bus up and down Douglas Island a long time ago. So I guess I've come full circle after a couple generations.
Wow, that's amazing that your grandfather drove the bus here. So what are you interested in finding out about how this bus works? You mentioned, or Duff mentioned, the Anchorage lessons learned. What are you hoping to find out?
Well, one of the really interesting things about these electric vehicles is that how you operate them and the temperature and environment that you operate them in really defines their performance. So as we learned with our Nissan Leafs and Juno, you get a lot farther in the summer than you do in the winter, for example. And so tailoring how we use the bus in the different seasons in order to maximize the mileage so we can maximize the payback is a really interesting solution that's not being looked at just in Juneau, but more broadly in the nation.
Are you interested to see how it deals with our weather? I know the Tok bus sounds like that's a good test because they get some very cold temperatures in the interior. But, you know, this is a mix of rain, humidity, winds, other issues. And I'm curious, do you feel confident that it's going to handle the weather?
If you'd like me to take this, Rhonda, what we've learned with the Nissan Leaf experiences is that Juno, because of its temperate climate, we're actually very well suited for batteries. We're actually, like some people have termed it, the Goldilocks zone of batteries. We're not too hot and we're not too cold. And so what we found when the Nissan dealers came up here and were looking at the battery, they were checking the batteries of the Leafs when we had them come a couple years ago. They were amazed that based on the miles we have, that our batteries weren't more degraded. And so that kind of led us to understanding that with the battery chemistry, Juno is pretty well set for the future of electric vehicles based on our temperature.
Now, that's something that would come as a surprise to most people, I think, that we are in the sweet spot of electric battery weather. So the other big hurdle, though, I would imagine is still the cost, even though over time you recoup some of that. And you're saying that you're going to get 7 new buses. So how are you getting the money for this? I know there was a lot of hard work to get the first one.
Well, this is a low-no grant program that all 50 states and all city bus transit counties, cities can compete for. And this year it's $120 million. Next year it's going to be $1 billion that I heard from Secretary Granholm of Department of Energy. And I mean, it's not budgeted yet, but they're rapidly moving in. And they're seeing electric buses as two reasons. One, we need to reduce greenhouse gases, move to a cleaner transportation system, but we also have to compete with China. China has 40,000 electric buses today, and we're trying to build up the manufacturing wherewithal in the American made application for electric equipment in this country if we're going to compete in this century. And so in comparison, they have like 40,000 and we have like 2,000. And so it's her effort. And she was the former governor from Michigan. So she's very much in sync with understanding manufacturing and vehicles. And so, you know, her effort, and I think with the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg's efforts, you can see in the writing of the grants that are being applied, they're putting more emphasis on those areas. As far as Juno, we were lucky to be recipients of these federal grants. They're competitive. And so not only has Juno been a leader, but they've been an effective leader at going after these funds, filling out the grants that are competitive. I mean, Juno's competing against Cleveland, Ohio, and New York City for these funds. So we've done a very good job.
Well, I suppose...
And not just being competitive, but being competitive for the last four years in a row, Duff?
4 years.
So, Devin, let me ask you this, because you've been working with the cars, trying to get charging stations set up to make it more appealing to people to make that transition. Is there something about the size of Juneau that kind of like Goldilocks, it's not too large of a town, it's not too small, that there's something about electric cars that's appealing?
Yes, definitely. The length that we all drive back and forth from downtown to the valley is definitely a big factor in making EVs really attractive to people, because the EVs that were on the market, say 5-6 years ago, like the Nissan Leafs that we all ended up with, they have a 24 kilowatt hour battery, and that equates in summer, they rate it as a 100 mile battery. We're now seeing batteries coming out in the 60 plus kilowatt hour range, so almost 2 to 3 times larger than what most of us are driving in Juneau. But most of us in Juneau are making it work on half the size quite well. You can get to from my house, say, to Eelcrest and back with some range to spare. And because of that, we've been able to adopt this technology rather inexpensively through these vehicles that may not have been as attractive down south, where you had to drive on the highway for multiple hours, whereas we don't have that use case necessarily in Juneau.
So you've been really working on the charging stations. And so I suppose to give us a perspective on this, how many electric vehicles do we have on the road in Juneau? How many charging stations is that enough?
We've actually been working really hard to track how many EVs are in Juneau in the last year. And we recently passed, I compiled some data from DMV last week, we recently passed 500 EVs, which I think is a really big accomplishment and can't be understated, that there's about, I think, 10 or 20, I'm forgetting now. Anyways, the amount of passenger vehicles that there are in Juneau, we're now down to 1 in 40 passenger vehicle is a Nissan Leaf. So excluding pickup trucks where, you know, there's not necessarily an all-electric equivalent that's available off the shelf right now, 1 in 40 of our passenger vehicles are EVs. And as far as the charging stations go, we were lucky enough to receive a donation of the Level 3 fast charging stations that have appeared around town at Alaskan Brewery, the Downtown Transit Center, and Fred Meyer's. Those were taken out of service on the East Coast or to make way for another station that can charge more types of cars, but the stations, because of Juneau's use of the Nissan Leaf and Teslas, which are compatible with it, it's a good fit for our community. And having that infrastructure really finish building out the work that was started in the early 2010, 2012, 13 range to provide a look at what charging infrastructure for Juneau might look like as we reach more full electrification.
So what about the big buses? Can they use those charging stations, or do they need something more?
That's actually what is so cool about the buses. They use the same CCS connector that the Chevy Bolt uses. So Capital Transit is able to roll in the bus, charge it, roll it out, roll in the Chevy Bolt, plug it into the same equipment, and have it do the same thing. And I think the coolest thing about electrification in general is that we have all this infrastructure around us that provides electricity everywhere. And so these charging stations can be placed at really key spots where the infrastructure already exists. It's not like a fuel station where you have to really start over every time you build a fuel station or a gas station. And so this is yet another neat thing that they're using the same standard on the bus as they are on the car. And so all this infrastructure is hopefully more ubiquitous and easier to access because of that.
So when you get these charging stations in place, though, I would imagine that you don't have some of the issues that you have with fuel, that you've got to really be careful about any leakage from fuel tanks. But are there some potential environmental issues with electrification that we really haven't talked about much yet?
Well, one of the things that have come up is, what do you do with these batteries when they're end of life? And that's very interesting, because in Japan, what they do is they take these and they run solar arrays on remote highways for their streetlights. What Tesla and others do is they use backup storage for utility grade batteries that don't need to have that high charge level. So a lot of the batteries are being repurposed, but there will be recycling in the future as that goes forward. But no, I don't think there's, other than that, there's the environmental is all positive.
So what's next to do on your to-do list? I mean, you've got 7-8 buses perhaps coming online, more electric cars. What needs to be done to pave the way for this to go more seamlessly?
I was just going to say, pickup trucks are coming out. You're going to see highway trucks coming out. Mining equipment is really picking up, going electric. So you're going to see, just like we went from horse and buggy to Model T to internal combustion engine, we're in the midst of a transformation. British Columbia has 6 electric ferries, and they're looking at buying stuff and more. So we're in the midst, whether we realize it or not, we're seeing electrification transformation happening. And you're gonna see more and more adoption in other areas.
I think in terms of the cars in Juneau, next steps will be starting to solve some of the more broader issues so that this technology can be more widely available to every citizen of Juneau. Right now, with the technology the way it is, it seems to prefer, say, people with a garage or a place to park off street so they can plug in at night. And so we've been working hard at trying to come up and work with all the stakeholders to come up with solutions to address that need. And whether you, say, adopt a gas station model, or you find places for people to charge, say, once a night or once a week at night on street, or so all these things are being discussed with all of the different
parties,
people around town. And hopefully that discussion will bring forth some new solutions, to help move forward electrification for everyone.
Duff?
Yeah, I agree. I think Juneau is uniquely, we've come up with our own path, and we've been very effective. And I think what it is we take all these community elements, whether it's going to be low-income housing or condo associations or whatnot, to come up with how we're going to take the next advancement for charging for folks.
You know, kind of what I envision would be useful is, maybe instead of a gas station, you go to a charging station, and the attendant comes out and takes the battery out of your car, gives you a newly charged one, you know, maybe you pay some kind of a subscription to be able to use a set of batteries, or you leave your old battery to be charged. Is that too pie in the sky or too complicated? Are there better ways to do that?
Interestingly enough, I think we're moving away from that. Maybe 5 years ago, Tesla demonstrated, they had some investor video where the car would drive up under, and they had a video on the other side of someone filling their gas tank, and they showed they could swap out the battery so many times. But now we see batteries moving into being a part of the structure of the car, and with charging speeds increasing ever more, perhaps that won't be the way we see it. Tesla already, who kind of represents, you know, what everyone's trying to get to. The way that you road trip in a Tesla right now is to pull up at the charging station and on fumes and charge for about 12 minutes to get yourself back to 50%. And then you go on your way for another hour, couple hours. And so, you know, 10 minutes perhaps will come down a little bit, but I think that's enough time to get out and stretch your legs. And I don't know that I'd want it to be much shorter. I don't like sitting in cars very much.
I wonder, could it be someday just like we plug in our cars at the wintertime in some of the interior communities and in places like Anchorage on colder days? They just plug right in with an extension cord. Could it someday be like that?
I think that's coming. There's off-street parking in Europe that's exactly like that. They have straight light poles where you put the cord in. And, you know, it may not be a fast charge, but it's something to plug and play while you're go to a restaurant or at work.
Oh, we've been doing outreach even to UAF, and we recently talked to their facilities manager, and that was exactly his point. We already have the plug-ins.
Yes, some of Alaska is very well prepared for this. Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us. Congratulations on the first electric bus, since you had a hand in paving the way for that.
And Rhonda, can I make just a plug for the Earth Day thing this weekend? I'll be real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
We got an EV road rally this weekend. If someone wants to come down and check out the electric bus, walk and talk and look at it. And then we'll have, that'll be at 1 o'clock at the Centennial, across the street from Centennial Hall at Juneau District Eating parking lot. And we'll have a road rally from 1:30 to 2:30. And there will be a Juneau Electric EV Earth Day convoy. And if you have electric vehicle, come join us. And if you don't have electric vehicle, come check it out and see all the Teslas and Bolts and Leafs and our, new CBJ bus.
All right. Well, thanks very much, both of you, for joining us today. Duff Mitchell and Devin Kibbe.